You are now listening to a new episode of Canadian Gardeners, hosted by Matt and Tiffany Whitney. Hey gardeners, Matt and Tiffany here. On today's episode, we're going to talk about sustainable gardening, food security, and why we do what we do. Let's get right into it.
All right. So there's about four fundamentals that we go after. Commit to 100% organic, no chemicals. Find ways to reuse, reduce, and recycle. Build healthy soil, living soil. Save seeds and propagate plants outdoors.
100%. Let's get into it. So number one, commit to 100% organic, no chemicals. So our garden, we use compost, we use worm castings, and all natural amendments like worm teas, and all the meals, bone meals, feather meals, all that. Matt, do you want to tell a story about chemicals?
Yeah. So Maddie is a bead pressure welder, and I've worked in all different industries. But one that I want to focus on in this episode is fertilizer plants. So I've worked in a couple. It's awful. I don't have any other words to use except that. When you go into a site like that, there's doffing and donning of different PPE. You're wearing double eye protection, respirator,
hazmat
suit, so you don't get any of the chemicals or acids on you, rubber boots, and there's different words for it, star cards, different things that you have to write all these hazards down to show the controls so you don't get hurt. It's not a safe place to live. It's not a safe place to be. You have to be very aware of your surroundings. If you're working above, you have to be paying attention to people that are working below you because you're kicking up these dusts and these awful chemicals. So where I come in is when there's a shutdown and they're replacing worn out parts and components and being put in new parts and components. Sometimes there's welding, sometimes there's bolt up, all sorts of different stuff. It really just depends on the rec of what you're doing, requisition of what you're doing. To paint the picture as best as I can, if you were to have an option of growing organic food using fertilizers, feather meal, bone meals,
castings,
teas, extracts that anyone can do. Anyone with a little bit of time on their hands and the willingness to learn can do this. You cannot say the same about these synthetic fertilizers.
Good point.
They are, pardon me, they are, big corporations that get into these, multi-billion dollar industry. And the realization is why would you do that if there's an alternative? One of the arguments would be, well, with synthetic fertilizers, the yields.
Yeah.
But of a population of over 8 billion people, how sustainable is this practice?
I
believe it isn't that sustainable. There's companies out there like Analita. I admire them through and through.
Yes, we do.
And my goal is to actually have them on this podcast one of these days to get their perspective on how they approach
their organics.
So they've got a worm farm that they go around the city in different places, and they grab organics and they,
organic waste,
organic waste like browns and greens. I think they take from, I remember one of them, they're saying like Starbucks and different like coffee grounds and things like that. I can't dive into that too much because I don't know their business model through and through, but I know that this is sustainable. Is going into industry and cleaning up different places that would just throw it into one bin.
Yeah.
And
get into the landfill.
And go into the landfill. That is also not sustainable, going that route. So you get a company like Annalita that sees that there's a market and sees that there is an alternative. And my last point on this is, I've said this before, you can actually do all these things that I'm mentioning with organics. You can build yourself a compost pile.
Yeah.
You can have worms if you're really inclined to. You can make your own biochar. You can make worm teas and worm extracts. These are all things that, as a gardener, you can do. And it's very much sustainable year in and year out. But you cannot say the same about synthetics. I don't know how to make synthetic fertilizers. And also, too, like in a lot of cases, these fertilizers are high in salt as well. So they're not necessarily good for soil. You can't mix synthetics with organics.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You're going to be competing and destroying the organic life,
yeah,
and the microbes and all that fun stuff that allow for good plant life. So that's my rant about that. And I hope that I can convey a tone of there is a better way.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And thanks for giving your story on that. So another way is, let's find ways to reduce, reuse, and recycle. So an example I can think of off the top of my head is, we save all our paper towel rolls and toilet paper rolls. And this is what we use to start our seeds in. It's just an easy, affordable way, instead of always buying those pods. So essentially, we're just making our own pods with them. They're easy to transplant.
You put them in a tray.
Yeah.
Well, you should add that as well.
Oh, yeah. We put them on a tray and our heat mat. I was like, we kind of have our system now, because we're in our fifth year of gardening. So we have more of a system now. We actually have a area in our garage, which we call the grow room. We have an 8x8 tent and a 4x4 tent that we use to grow all of our transplants. We have 2 worm huts in the garage as well. That's where we start all our seeds. And then when I can transplant them into our bigger pots, then we put them in the tents until they're ready to be hardened off and get out into the garden. So that's one way we do. And then the other way is like composting. We use the green matter waste from the garden, our kitchen scraps, we feed to our worms, and we have a compost. We keep all our brown material, so like our leaves, our twigs,
also your work as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so Tiff's work, we also get the shredded paper,
because
yeah, they're not paperless, so they've got a lot of paper every couple days that we use to feed our worms, and also that's the brown element that helps us as well.
So yeah. So I'm just So that's a good example. I'm just taking from my work, which would just get thrown away, because there is no spot for it.
And there's no system.
Yeah,
there's no system in place.
Yeah. There's no system in place. So I just take it, because instead of it going to a landfill, I might as well use it, repurpose it, and feed it to our worms and compost. So that's pretty cool that I'm able to do that. So the next thing is building a healthy soil. Healthy living soil is the foundation of a sustainable garden. So it starts from the ground up.
This is the most important key. Sorry for cutting you off. This is number one, number two, number three, number four. This is really, really important.
Number all of them. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like I said, it starts from the ground up. What you're giving the plant is going to give the fruit, the veggies, the nutrients, which then you're eating. So it's the full cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the full cycle. So it's down, starts from the ground up. That's why you want an organic soil, living soil, that's just going to continue that cycle. And next thing we do is we save our seeds as much as we possibly can from the garden. And that is what we use with our little paper pods. What should we call those? Our paper towel pods.
Yeah.
We need to come up with a name for them instead of Jiffy pods. Tiffy pods.
Yeah.
There you go. Our little Tiffy pods. That's what we use to start our seeds. So we always save our seeds. And another thing we're getting into this year is we're going to start propagating plants. So a lot of your perennials, your fruit bushes, like raspberries and stuff, we're going to start propagating those to get them out into our food forest. Because I don't know if you, well, I guess we should touch on this. Our garden space is 30 by 50. And right now we have 32 raised beds in there. So it's kind of maxed out in the growing space we
fully
can
developed.
Do out there.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it, fully developed. So the next area that we're going to be developing is our food forest. So that's where we're going to experiment a lot with the propagating.
Can I touch on this?
Oh, absolutely.
So the food forest is an acre. I've talked about this in other podcasts. It's got a slew, that's what I've been calling it, but a pond area that's every, a good majority of the slope all goes into that. So our house is on a hill.
Yeah.
And in saying that, when it warms up, there's a fair amount of water that drains into that pond area.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to be able to use that water, recycle it in a way that we could move it around to feed the plants in that periphery of that acre. That is a very important fundamental that we're going to be working on this year.
Yeah,
I don't want to get too much into it because we haven't actually been, haven't done any of that yet. At this point, the land is just cleared of all trees. So what I had done is it was a pretty thick thatch of prickle bushes and poplar. It was, it looked like it had been thinned out a few times. So the poplars in diameter were probably like 18, 20 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
And so I chopped it down, bucked everything up. And my ultimate goal is a good majority of that is to turn that into biochar.
So cool.
Yeah, yeah, that is, I want to talk about biochar in another episode with Annalita when I get them on a podcast, because they use their worm extract and infuse the biochar with that. And it's how it's been explained to me is biochar is a home where beneficial organisms can go and retreat, and also too where can store nutrients where the plant can actually take from it when it's needed. It's kind of like a safe house or a home for important organisms. That to me made a lot of sense. And we've done blind tests on that.
Yes.
Is that the right word? Or
yeah.
Blind tests? Where we do different percentages of biochar. And we've seen great root quality with that. So that's something that we in the last couple of years have been a great advocate of. Is there anything else to touch on that bit?
No, I think that's it. Like you said, we'll get Annalita's on to talk about all these amendments in more detail for sure.
I guess, what is our mission statement?
Our mission statement, our vision for our whole company and lifestyles, we just want to inspire change into a greener future.
Inspire change into a greener future. That is an important fundamental for sure. We want to show that there is an alternative, and we want to show people that if you've got a 3-acre acreage, or if you got a little plot, south-facing plot with great exposure, that you can also do a lot. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to feed yourself year-round, which would be awesome. But we're in a climate of zone 3A where our
pretty hard.
It's a harsh climate for sure. Like if you think about it, we have from mid-May to mid-September is our prime
frost-free
days.
Yeah. I think on average, we have 115 to 120, 25 days frost-free.
Mm-hmm. So then that also brings in challenges, right? Yeah. That brings in that we have to figure out how to grow indoors. We have to have a heated space. Like our garage, that's another thing to add, is also heated. That's a benefit to our process. Not necessarily everyone has this, but our, I guess, our goals and objective is to work on being as self-sufficient as we possibly can.
Yes.
So it's going in baby steps every year, yeah, adding on changes. Yeah, like yeah. Last year we didn't have these grow tents. The year before we were using a camping tent to hardening our plants. We were using every corner of our house. We were using our sunroom, our living room, our basement, every available window that we had to grow these plants. Is kind of
it was a little chaotic.
It was a shit show, to be honest with you, because like the plants were kind of leggy and some would produce better and some would, depending on like the light. So that was a learning curve that we had to step into. And this year we have able to pivot to something a little bit easier.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely helped that transition. But as gardeners though, start with where you are with what you have and just grow from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's pretty much how we've handled this and also like doing your own research, talking to the gardening community.
Yes.
That helps a lot.
100%.
It's such an amazing community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we gave a lot of good fundamentals there. If you guys have any comments or questions, just drop it below and we'll get back to you. And any ideas, if any topics you guys want us to talk about in the gardening world, I was like, we will be back next Tuesday. Thank you for listening in. Be the change you want to see. If each of us become a role model in our community, it creates a ripple effect around us and that can make a big difference.
Perfect. See you folks.
See ya. Thanks for listening to another episode of Canadian Gardeners. Tune in next week.